I've been with you, I think it's since a Sunday in June last year. And we've been looking at the story of Joshua. Now that Sunday in June, when I spoke on Joshua chapter 1, I wasn't even thinking that it would turn into a mini-series. But here we are, outside the walls of Jericho. There's something you've got to notice about Joshua and the story of Joshua. This is it. That God is the central character in the story. Not Moses, not Joshua, not the people of Israel. It is God who is front and center. Looking back, we noticed that God called and empowered Joshua. God makes a promise to Joshua, chapter 1 and verse 3, I will give you every place where you set your foot as I promised Moses. God goes before his people as they face their first major obstacle, crossing the River Jordan. God is front and center in the story of Joshua. And now we come to Jericho, a heavily fortified city, and the first battle Joshua must lead the people of Israel into. But once again, God is front and center. Joshua 5 and verse 13 tells us that Joshua is near Jericho when he sees a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword. Who is this person? Joshua wonders. But all is soon revealed. Verse 14. He comes as commander of the army of the Lord. I have now come. This was what the theologians call a theophany. An appearance of God. Moses, the burning bush, was another example of that, where God appeared to Moses in that burning bush. There have been other examples throughout the scriptures. May have been an angelic figure. We aren't told. But it brings a response from Joshua. He falls to his knees in reverence. And he's given this command. Take your shoes off, for you're standing on holy ground. And right there, in this pagan country, in front of the pagan city of Jericho, God comes, and that makes it a holy place, because God is there. God is front and center. Now you see, Joshua thought that he was commander-in-chief of the army. He now finds out that he is in fact only second in command of the army. You see, the battle here belonged to the Lord. God was there with Joshua, with his people, leading the way and giving the victory he had promised back in Joshua chapter 1. The battle belongs to the Lord. Every struggle you face, every situation you are in, always remember this. The battle belongs to the Lord. He does not leave you alone to struggle. He does not leave you alone to somehow muddle through. In every situation, make him front and center. Let him take control. Allow him to lead and to guide. The battle belongs to the Lord. And then something else here. God's unusual battle plans. Here was the Israelite army. The whole nation were camped outside Jericho. It was a strategically important and strongly defended place. A battle plan was needed. And maybe Joshua thought that he was going to sit down, have a discussion with his generals as to the best approach, and then God intervened with a battle plan. Joshua 6 and verse 2, "Then the Lord said to Joshua, 'See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands along with its king and its fighting men,'" and the victory hadn't taken place yet. But God says, "Joshua, I have delivered." And the battle hadn't even taken place. The plan, it involved the Israelite army marching around Jericho once a day for 6 days, and then on the seventh day the trumpets were to be blown, everyone was to shout, and the walls would collapse. And so it happened. Probably people in the Israeli war cabinet thought it very odd, and it certainly seemed to be so. It might also have seemed very strange to the defenders of Jericho. Was this army from Israel just going to walk around the walls? Were they ever going to attack? Or would they just keep on walking? What are we to make of this? People have tried to explain this in all kinds of ways. But let's notice this. God's ways aren't always our ways. God acts in his own ways. It seemed unusual, but the whole point of it was this, that here was a clear demonstration that victory was to be found in the power of God and not in the plans of men. And God sometimes does unusual things to make that very point, that victory depends on God and not on the plans of man. Do you remember the story of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead? Lazarus had been very ill, and Mary and Martha, his sister, sent for Jesus. And they said, "Lord, come, and our brother will be fine." But the scriptures tell us that Jesus delayed, that Jesus didn't come until Lazarus had died and Lazarus was in the tomb. And when Jesus arrived, Mary, I think it was, met him and said, "Lord, you let us down. If you'd been here, this wouldn't have happened." And Jesus looked at her and he said, "Mary, this happened that God would be glorified. This was part of the plan and the purpose of God." And he spoke those words, "Lazarus, come forth." God's unusual ways to demonstrate his power. God's ways aren't our ways. We may have our own thoughts. We may make our own plans. But in the end, God will decide what the right way is. And Joshua had to be content to hand control to the commander of the army of the Lord. In every situation, we must hand over control to God. And it's not easy to do that sometimes when we're facing a hard situation. Not easy to do that, but we just put it into his hands. And I wonder this morning, the situations you and I face, have we the courage and the faith to put it into his hands? Because you see, what we do sometimes is we put it into his hands and then we take it back again. And we continue to worry about it. Joshua had to put this into God's hands. So the walls of Jericho came down. But let's bring this ancient story right up to date. The walls of Jericho were very much alive today. They're very much alive today. What about the walls we put up to keep God out? We don't want to seriously engage with God in our lives. So we put that wall up and we leave him outside our lives with no real engagement. Yes, we're worshiping, we're serving, but there's no real engagement with him. We're not experiencing his blessing and his grace because we put that wall up and it says on it, God, stay out. Or perhaps our faith isn't truly wholehearted. Yes, we have the Lord Jesus in our lives, but he isn't at the center of our lives. There's that bit of our lives that we have walled off and we don't want God to touch that or have any control over it. But God does not want a divided heart. There can be no no-go areas in our lives with God. Or the walls of prejudices we may have. Begin to think about it. We're all prejudiced in one way or another when we begin to think about it. The walls that separate the church off from the world of needy people in which we live. Walls of doubt, walls of fear, walls of self-interest, walls of indifference. The walls of Jericho take many forms. They're very much alive today. But are we going to allow the power of God to bring them tumbling down by his power so that he can move among us, work in and through us, and use us to advance his kingdom? You're at the beginning of a completely new start here. It's a great opportunity. It's a great time. But maybe there's those walls. And those walls maybe say, don't touch that. Don't touch this. Don't go there. We need to pray that in this world of today, God will bring those walls down within our churches and maybe between ourselves and the people out there who are hungry to hear of the amazing grace of our God. We have to speak of judgment sometimes, but I'd much rather speak about the grace of God. The love of God. I'd much rather be saying to people, in this graceless and loveless world, there's amazing grace to be found in our great God. And you know, folks, of getting that message out there means bringing some of the walls down, breaking down barriers. We need to do it. And we need to depend on the commander of the Lord's army to do just that. We'll take a moment to pray together. Let's pray. Our gracious God, this morning, help us to think about those walls. The walls that are between us and other people. The walls which we feel unable to cross. Between ourselves and you. Gracious God, by your grace, help us to pray that those walls may come tumbling down Amen.